Well, good afternoon, and thank you very much for being here for the preaching of the gospel this afternoon. Apologies, by the way, if you're deaf, because I may have to move from here. When I use PowerPoint, I tend to find it being restricted to one place. I'll not stay here for too long, so apologies, but I promise I will speak as loud as I possibly can. Leonard, I suppose, phoned me up last Sunday and said, could you give me a subject for what you want to speak on next week in the gospel? And to be absolutely honest with you, I really hadn't given enough thought at that point in time. And he said, well, you've got till Wednesday to decide. So I thought, well, what will I speak about coming up to Kinaway on this Sunday? And I thought to myself, well, I don't know about you, but right now, in the place that I work, and in the situation I work within, this is the thing that everybody's talking about just now, how hopeless everything is. I read in the press just the weekend past that we've got 7 days to save Europe. 7 days to save Europe. And really, when you look around the world just now, it's in a pretty hopeless situation. Whether it's financially, whether it's physically, and we look at global warming, and we look at the nuclear disaster that happened in Japan, whether it's spiritually, the world is a bit of a mess just now. And it's, I suppose you would say, pretty hopeless. Well, there's nothing I want to speak about hope in a hopeless world. I want to consider the following thing. I want to think about, first of all, what is hope? You know, the idea of hope is quite different in the Bible than what it is outside the world. And I'll explain some of the differences between what the world thinks hope is and what the Bible says hope is. I think I want to think about what it is to be without hope. What it is to be without any hope at all. Then we'll discover false hope. People that think they've got hope, but it's all false, it's not real, and it's going to let them down. We'll then think about the basis of real hope, and we'll realise that's all found in Christ. And what Christ has done, and we'll touch primarily on that this afternoon. We'll then think about future hope. A hope that I have, and a hope that many of all have. And I hope by the end of the meeting this afternoon, a hope that you also have of being in heaven one day. But I am not thinking about being hopeless. The idea of having no hope at all. And that's what we'll finish this afternoon. In quite an awful place. Quite an awful prospect to be hopeless. But we'll be asking after, what is hope? What is it to have hope? Well, if you look at the dictionary, that's what the dictionary says. The dictionary says it's a feeling of expectation and desire combined. A desire for certain events to happen. You know, for the children in the audience, Christmas will be here very soon. In fact, I think it's 3 weeks today. You'll all open your presents. But right now, you've got a lot of hope going on. You are hoping that Santa Claus is going to bring you exactly what you hope he's going to bring you. And you've got lots and lots of things you would like. And maybe you've written a great big long list down of everything that you would like. The reality is you're not getting it all. Maybe you'll get some of it. So we all have hopes for certain things. You know, maybe that's what you hope for today. That is a Ferrari 612 Scaglietti. And I would love to have one of these one day. I'll never have one, by the way. But I would love to have one of these. And maybe you say, Scott Brooks hopes to one day drive one of those. Maybe that's you. Maybe you don't want a Ferrari. But you just want to be happy. You want to be moving to old age, happy and healthy. And maybe you want to be like that retired person there, sitting with a smile on your face. Maybe that's your hope. For a lot of people, that's their hope. Every Saturday and every Wednesday comes along, and the big symbol is cross your fingers. And you hope that your numbers are going to come up. Those numbers come up to change your life. Maybe that's what your hope is. Some folk have called me hope for this. We hope to find love. We hope to find the woman or the man of your dreams and settle down and be forever happy. And so all these things we possibly hope for, and maybe you're hoping for some of these things this afternoon. But none of these
things are guaranteed. This afternoon, I can't guarantee anybody in this hall will ever drive a Ferrari. I can't guarantee you, sadly, you'll be happy. I can't guarantee you'll win the lottery. And I certainly can't guarantee that you'll find love. You see, the world says, I hope for something, but I don't know I'll get it. When you come to the Bible sees hope quite differently. You see, in the Bible, it's something that's well-grounded of something that you are going to receive. It's something that is no doubt about. You know, I can tell you, I hope to go to heaven. That's not because I've got some doubt about it. I know for sure I'm going to be in heaven one day. It's absolutely secure. You know, this is something you can't really rely upon now, is it? The banks. They've let us all down. We thought they were secure. We thought you put your money there, it was safe as houses. It wasn't secure at all. Let me tell you, if you put your faith and trust in Christ, you will be absolutely secure. He'll never let you go. He will never fail you. You see, when you trust in Christ, you can rely upon Him. It's certain. You know, I was at somebody's house last night and they told me the settee I was sitting on was the settee that they got when they got married 25 plus years ago. And when they went to replace that settee, the guy in the shop told them that the settee's only going to last for 5 years. That's how long the settee lasts now. Now, why is that? Well, just because we don't build them as well as they used to. That's really this castle here. You know, my house will fall down long before that castle will fall down. You know, it's something that's certain. It's been around a long time and you can rely upon it. Everything we talk about today is going to be based on God's word. It's not going to be based on my thoughts or the thoughts of people in this hall here. It's all going to be based on God's word. And so, it's not only secure, but it's absolutely certain. And so, when we talk about hope this afternoon, when God talks about hope, it's something which you can rely upon and be sure of. So that is hope. It's what God guarantees. Let's think first of all about without hope. You've got a Bible, obviously, you don't need to look up. I'll put the verses on the screen. The verse we're going to look at is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. And it says there that at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the covenant of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Having no hope without God. You know, that's what it is to be without hope. It's to be without God. You see, is it serious? Is it a problem for me? Well, let me start by telling you some of the bare facts of the gospel message this afternoon. Number one, God has said, I weighed you in the balances and I found you wanting. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not my view upon you, that's God's view. And that's God's view upon all of mankind. You know, there's many in the hall I know. I know God exceptionally well, there's others I know very, very well. But there's many, I couldn't even tell you what your name is. I have no idea where you live. In fact, I know absolutely nothing about you at all. But I know one thing about you. You're a sinner. Because the Bible says that all have sinned. It's like God saying, everyone's the same. No matter how bad you are or how good you think you possibly are, God says you've all sinned. In fact, it says there is no difference. We've all sinned. Now you say, well, is sin serious? Is sin a problem? Is sin something I should be worried about? Well, these two verses say, the wages of sin is death. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I put a picture up here of a doctor. We all take him to the doctor. Not because it's bad news. You know, if that first man, Adam, had never sinned, We would never have had an NHS. We would never have had a doctor or a nurse. We never knew them. But because that first man sinned, the Bible says, sin came upon all men, for all have sinned. And eventually that man Adam would die one day because of his sin. And friends, that's the reality for us in this hall this afternoon. One day each one of us will die. You know, as good as this profession is getting, and with all its advancing, all its technological things it can do, we'll never stop you dying. Everybody has always died. And that's one thing I can guarantee everybody in the hall this afternoon, is that one day we will die. But when the Bible talks about death, it's more serious than that. This isn't just talking about a time in your life when your heart stops beating and you stop breathing. This is spiritual death. And this is death that separates us from God. And that's why, friends, we start off in a hopeless place. We've all sinned and we've been found short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of God's perfect standards. And sin is serious. Sin will keep me out of heaven. Friends, I would hate for any one of you to say, I could have been in that place, but I know my sin kept me out. You know, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden for how many sins? Just the one. You see, that's how serious sin is. One sin meant Adam and Eve could no longer be where God was. Friends, think back over this past week. How many times have you sinned? It's many, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's many, many times we've broken God's rules and we've broken God's standards. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what it is to be without hope. Job chapter 8, verse 13, what about false hope? It says there, so the path that all forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Job chapter 8, verse 13, all that forget God shall perish. I wonder this afternoon if you've forgotten about God. If you've taken God out of your thinking, if you've left him out of your thought process, well, this afternoon, start thinking about God. Some symbols up here of some of the well-known religions, whether it's Judaism or Buddhism. Many religions all around the world. Many religions all telling you the same thing. And that same thing is, try your best and you might get to heaven. No guarantees, but every religion tells you the same thing. Try your best, live a good life, and you might make it into heaven. I'm going to be honest with you guys this afternoon. Might make it into heaven isn't good enough for me. I want to be absolutely guaranteed that I'm going to heaven. I want to be absolutely sure I'm going to be there one day. Might isn't good enough for me. Let me just say that doing your best will never see you in heaven. I'll put some other things up that people rely upon. Maybe you rely upon some of these. Maybe you're saying, Scott, I'm a member of a church. You're saying, Scott, you don't realise, I was a Christian as a child. I read the Bible. In fact, I'm here this afternoon. Surely that tells you that I'm going to heaven one day. Sadly, friends, it tells me none of that at all. Here's some of the other things people rely upon. Let's do some good work. Maybe do some good work for a charity. Help people. Do my best. Surely that will get me into heaven. You know, I reckon if I went into Kennedy tonight and asked people in the streets, this one here is what they all think they're doing. This is the one they're all relying upon. Because what they'll tell you is, well, if you take all the good things that I do, and you take all the bad things that I do much more good things than bad things. And surely that means I'll be in heaven one day. The Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know something? I'm honestly delighted with that. I'm delighted that when I get to heaven, every single person I meet in heaven will be there not because of what they've done, but will be there because of what Christ done. They'll be there because a man called the Lord Jesus loved them and gave his life for them. And that's the reason any one of us will ever be in heaven. You see, it's not about you. It's all about him. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what he's done. Friends, this afternoon, great to see you here. Thank you for being here. But being here will never save you. Being a member of our church will never make you a place in heaven. You see, it's not about what you can do, it's about what he's done. That's also. Let's think about real hope now, the basis of real hope. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. That is what my hope depends upon. It doesn't depend upon the fact my parents are Christians. It doesn't depend upon the fact I go to the gospel hall on earth. It doesn't depend upon the fact I've tried to live a good life. It depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about what he's done for me. And friends, this afternoon, he is the basis of real hope. There's two symbols up there you probably recognize. The fire engine and a life ring. You know, if my house was on fire, and I dialed 999 and asked for a fire engine, and that fire engine came, and the fireman said, "Scott, you need to jump out the window and we'll save you." And I went, "I don't know what I'm doing that. I'll try and get it myself." I started wafting with a bit of towel, like a bucket of water, and the whole place is an inferno. And I said, "No, I'll do it myself. I don't need your help." For unless I'm drowning in a river. I'm drowning in a river, and somebody says, "Scott, catch that life ring." The life ring's right beside me. And he said, "Hold on to the life ring, you'll be safe." And I went, "I'll do it myself, I'll be fine." You see, both these things are able and willing to save. Men that drive these fire engines, they're not putting their life on the line to save you if your house is on fire. You see, they're able and willing to save you. Well, that's the same with my Saviour. He's not only willing to save you, he's able to save you. You see, well, how is he able to save me? Number one, he lived a perfect life. You know, he wasn't like me. He wasn't like you. We've said right from the start, we've all sinned. We've all broken God's rules. We've all failed. He never failed. He never broke the rules. He was absolutely perfect. Nobody has ever lived a life like the Lord Jesus. Absolutely, utterly perfect. A perfect life. But secondly, his blood was shed. He did live a perfect life. He did remarkable miracles and said wonderful things. But the reason he left heaven and the reason he came to earth was to go to that cross. His blood was shed for you. I wonder if that means anything to you. I wonder if that grips your soul and grips your heart that there was a man from heaven that loved you so much that he was both dying on a cross to save you. You know, that's the great news I'm going to tell you this afternoon. That's the wonderful hope that I can tell you about. It's all about a man upon a cross. You see, upon that cross, he did something that I could never do. He did something that nobody could ever have done. The Bible says, the one that knew no sin was made sin for us. The one who had never been touched or tarnished by sin was the one who was made sin, was punished for sin for me. That's remarkable. That's amazing. Now, do I understand it? Absolutely not. But we can simply say, he loved me because he loved you. But you know, he wasn't finished when he died upon the cross. Wonderfully, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. The Bible says that death had no hold over him. He said to himself, I lay down my life, I will take it up again. And 3 days later, he did exactly that. You know, friends, that's absolutely fundamentally important this afternoon. That's absolutely key to us being saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if thou shalt believe with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe that yes, he went to the cross, but two, he rose again from the dead. And today, I've got a Saviour who's alive. You know, every one of these little religions we talked about, they can take you to a grave. They can show you where their great leader lies. I can't do that today. All I can point you to is heaven. Because my Saviour today is in heaven. And he sits upon a throne. And he's able to save you. And I might say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What are you relying upon this afternoon to be saved? What are you relying upon to get into heaven? That's what I'm relying upon. A perfect life, his shed blood, and the fact he rose again from the dead. You know, that's going to take me to heaven one day, those three things. But what about you? But future hope. 2 Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. Why would you want to go to heaven? Why would you want to go to heaven this afternoon? You know, I've no idea what heaven looks like. I've got a picture of some clouds. I don't think we'll ever be able to quite picture what heaven will be like until we get there. It's an amazing place. Even from a little bit we know in the Bible, it sounds quite a remarkable place, and it's going to be amazing. But let me give you some reasons why I want to be in heaven. I will never shed another tear once again. All the sorrow, all the heartache, all the trouble, it's all gone. No more death. I'll never ever stand beside a graveside in heaven. Because we'll all live forever. How fantastic is that going to be? No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. That sounds like the top place I want to go. You know, I don't know about you, when you decide when you're going to go on holiday, you look at all the facilities, don't you? And you look at how many swimming pools it's got, you look at what sports they can do, maybe look at other things the hotel's going to offer. You know, mine doesn't have what it's going to offer, mine doesn't know what's not going to be there. And that's fantastic. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more death. I hope you're excited about heaven. The big one. The real reason why I want to be in heaven is because that's where the Lord is. A man that I've never seen. A man I've never clapped eyes upon. And one day I'm going to see him. And one day he's going to hold out his hands to me and I'm going to see where the nail prints were. And I'm going to see a mark on his brow from where the thorns were. And I'm going to see him. I know I'm going to see him. I'm absolutely sure I'm going to see him. What about you? You know, he said to himself, I will come again. He could come today, by the way, friends. He could come today. That's why we're saying, behold, now is the accepted time. The time to get right with God is now. Not tomorrow. maybe the saddest verse in our Bible. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. In hell, in torment. Hopeless. No way out. Nothing he can do here. That's a really hopeless situation, friends. You know, all around we see hopeless situations, whether it's bombings and attacks going off in the Middle East just now, whether it's just people's pure sadness because of their life is gone, and maybe the money they thought they were going to have is not going to be there anymore, and it's breaking their hearts. Here's a storm on the sea. We thought the disciples thought were a hopeless situation, and the Lord came from out of the sea. Hopeless situations. I asked earlier, why would I want to go to heaven? Let me ask you another question. Why would I not want to go to hell? What reasons would I not want to be in that place? Is it really that bad? You know, I remember when I was growing up, somebody said to me, don't worry about hell. Hell's going to be fine. We're all going to be there in one big party. In hell, in torment. Again, I have no idea what hell looks like. These are going to be some of the images that the artists come up with around what hell will be like. Let me tell you some of the things I know about hell. It's a place of torment. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of pain and agony. All the things that have not been in heaven, they're all going to be in hell. It's a place of darkness. You know, in heaven, there's going to be no sun in heaven, because the Lord Jesus is going to light that place. We're not going to even need the sun, it's going to be so bright. But as bright as heaven is going to be, imagine how dark hell is going to be. It's a place of abandon. Don't think you'll be there with all your friends and all your neighbours and all your colleagues, you're not. You know, there was a man in heaven there in Luke chapter 16. He longed that his family would come to that place. He knew how bad it was and how awful it was. He didn't want company in that place. He wanted to warn them not to come. But lastly, it's forever. See that clock? It'll just keep going. Forever and forever and forever. And that's how long hell's going to last. It's going to last forever and forever and forever. Friends, you can't get this wrong. This is the most important decision you will ever make. Please, please, please think seriously about your soul and where it ends up. Make sure you're going to heaven. So what is your hope? What are you relying upon? This man's a guy called Chief Whitefeather. And Chief Whitefeather was asked to sing one day to George VI, King George VI in Washington. He was asked to sing the national anthem. But at the end of the national anthem, he stopped and he proceeded to sing these words: I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Quite amazing words. I put the words up there off the hymn. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than rich than toad. I'd rather have Jesus than rich than land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. And at dinner that night, he spoke to the Queen. And he asked the Queen about what her hope was. And she simply replied, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. It was a Queen that was trusting the Lord Jesus. So that was Chief Whitefeather. Here's a guy called Jim Elliot. Saved as a young man. Absolutely committed to serving God and telling others about God. What did he say? He said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He had the world at his feet, Jim Elliot. when he was martyred in Ecuador at the age of 29. Maybe you see what a waste of a life. He could have done so much more with his life. But he was a man who realised where real hope lay. That hope lay in Jesus Christ. And he wanted others to know about it. And he gave his life serving his Saviour. That's Chief Whitefeather. And that's Jim Elliot. What about you? What is your hope lying on? Trying your best? Being here this afternoon? Grim determination and effort is going to take you to heaven? It's not. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Friend, that's what I'm relying upon. And I know many in the hall have got the same reliance. You see, it's all about Him. It's all about the work of Calvary. Friends, today, believe and you'll be saved. That's all you need to do.